Sci-Fi Party Line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat. We have Eric.
Hey.
And Carl.
Hey.
And today we're going to talk about heroes. I may sound enthusiastic when I announced heroes, but no, I'm not. Carl yelled at me on my blog, my personal blog, fancyfinbot.com, that is, when I called heroes one of the flops of the decades.
Oh my God.
Yeah? I'm here to challenge you for yelling at me on my blog, sir.
Flops of the decade. Come on, that is not the term that you used on your...
Oh, I said it was flops and turds. It was up to your interpretation whether you wanted it to be a flop or a turd. You went for turd, sir, so that's how you must have felt.
I'm sorry, between those two fine choices, how could I think that would be... No. You're just hating. You're hating on the heroes, and you know...
I can't see how a fine young man like you...
Hang on, let me tell you something else. Because I want everybody to know, I'm feeling deceived. I'm deceived right from the beginning. I'm feeling deceived. Why? Why, you all may ask, is Carl feeling deceived? Well, that is because Kat called me up. She says, yeah, I just think maybe, you know, we should do an episode on heroes, you know, just, you know, you and I, we could talk about it and, you know, have a final discussion on this. And I was cool with that. I was cool with that because, you see, our discussion is one thing. But then you brought Eric up in here. Now, what is that about?
Eric is not here to defend because Eric said he's been liking Hero. So I'm alone. I'm out here alone by myself. So he's your guy right now.
Wow.
Didn't you text me and say you love? No, I did not.
I told you now. The last time we had this discussion. Why am I feeling deceived? Because, you see, last time we had this discussion, Eric busted in with all them facts and figures and factual information.
Sir, aren't you a technical guy who does robot stuff for a living? Aren't you?
When it comes to things like heroes, that kind of defense, I got nothing to defend against. I can't argue with that. Now, you can't. When you talk to me about why heroes is bad, you use defenses like cause, and then you talk about my mama. And so that I feel with. But now, see, you pulled in the heavy Eric back there.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm in the corner. I'm going to be swinging like a paper bag here. That's all right.
I think you should defend this show that you love because you defended, you went on the blog, you said I was a shame. He put shame in caps. He yelled, y'all. And
because you said it was a turd of the decade.
It was either a flop. Or a turn. It was up to your interpretation.
Excuse me, Your Highness, for choosing that. I simply was saying that I believed it is true, and we talked about this last time, Heroes has had a couple of down seasons, you know, things, but to call it a turd for the decade is entirely too harsh, is what I'm saying. But that's all right. That's all right. So I'm ready. I'm swinging. I'm the underdog here. So come on, bring your facts. Bring your figures. We're going to do this.
Okay. Well, we're not going to go the whole of Heroes. We're just going to go for the past three episodes since this return for this year, 2010. This is a happy new year, guys.
Happy new year.
Yeah. So, you can tell me sober. You're telling me sober that these three past episodes are something that you are into. Not that you're drunk all the time or anything, but I'm just saying with a straight, clear.
I'm going to say they were interesting. They were interesting and an improvement. That is what I will say.
Eric's been quiet. He's been giggling. Eric, you, last three episodes.
Let's
bring in some facts and figures that he's so scared that you're going to talk
about. No. No, no, no. But No, first I'm surprised you said that you thought I liked it.
You sent me a text. You said you these past episodes.
No. I said, do you want to know my opinion? Question mark.
It was a text later because I said that I wanted to get Carl on and he was going to talk about how much he loved it. And you said, well, you know, I kind of enjoyed it or something like, I'm going to find this text. I'm going to find it.
No, you're ganging up on me.
It does not exist. But no, I was mostly ho-hum during the return. I mean, I think initially when it came back from its winter break, I think very initially I may have said something like, oh, this is how the premiere should have been, like last fall.
Mm-mm.
You know, this is how they should have started the story picking up this season. Because they were actually, it seemed like they were getting on track, perhaps, for once. But then, as I continued onward into the recent episodes, I don't know, I'm kind of comatose at this point. Like, I'm not filled with bile or vitriol. I'm just kind of sedated. I've sedated myself now to where I'm just like, meh. It's just watching the slow death, you know, I guess. Because at first I heard coming, you know, they said, oh, it's probably saved now. You know, there's going to probably be a next season. But I don't know. Now there's a wind of change on Twitter saying, you know, like with last night, supposedly getting pummeled by Fringe, which I was like shocked to read. I'm fine with it. I'm cool with that. I just was surprised that that's the reality. But please.
So what about these? Because what we have, Hero now is speaking in geek tongues, where he's running around talking about Dr. Watson. He's talking about stormtroopers, and he's doing his whole weird hero thing that was cute first season, second season. But I'm kind of over it. It's a little old. He doesn't have a brain tumor. He got his head held by a dreadlock guy at the carnival, and now he can only speak in bits and pieces of nerd. Yay. I mean, what is that?
Well, you see, to start right out with that would make it sound a little rough, okay?
Okay, explain it to us a little better then, Carl. Go ahead.
No. I mean,
I'm not putting you on the spot. I just want to tell
you. I'm going to look around that. You see, again, I'm going to look around.
Did you like it, though? I mean, did you think it was a progression in the character? Do you think it was necessary? Do you think there was some bonding happen? I mean, I saw a little bit with Ondo. He got to use his red lightning again, which I thought was cool. They rescued Dr. Watson, which turned out to be what's his
name? Suresh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
all right, my two favorite characters on Heroes are Noah Bennett and Hero. Okay, I like them. So, for them to be rather prominent in the new season is a big deal for me. I gotta admit, not a big fan of the brain tumor hero line thing that he was doing. Not a big fan of that, but that's okay because he was still innocent, pure hero. He's still doing his thing, helping people out. I thought it was fun seeing him and Ando, breaking out of the insane asylum. There were moments where I genuinely laughed as those three getting out of there. That was fun. It was fun. Okay, not brilliant, not you know, transcendent sci-fi, but it was not a turd, okay? There's far worse stuff on. And so I'm giving, like I told you before, I'm trying to give them a chance to bring it back. But see, that line thing, you know, with him doing the sort of seizure work, I was not a big fan of that part of it. But, okay. But that's okay. It was still good to see the guys.
I respect your honesty, sir.
Okay. All right. That's how I'm gonna bring it. That's how I'm gonna bring
okay.
it.
I'm curious with the because Carl just said there was some far worse things on. I'm just curious what some of those examples are, just so I can kind of put
off
it in
topic.
Context.
Well, okay, well, in, no, context. In context, in context. Okay, yeah, no, I'll let you.
Stargate
I'll
Universe.
Allow it.
Your Honor, yeah. Stargate Universe. Plain and simple. I'd like to start with that one.
Okay.
See, there's plenty of stuff, but see, I don't watch that, so I try to avoid the other things. But it's just no. It's not terrible. Not terrible. Go on.
Nathan, he's gone. I think it took too long. They drug it out. By the time he was dead, I was like, thank God. You know, this is over with. I am so tired of this guy being dead, not dead, undead. He was thrown in the back of a trunk with Frankenstein's monster's thing, stitches across his neck. I mean, they sewed his head back on to put him in a plane to crash him on fire. I mean, why? Why? What was that?
I thought it was a bold choice because I was afraid they were going to bring him back. No, seriously, I thought that they were going to kind of wimp out on us, and at the last minute, something was going to happen that, you know, Brother Petrelli came back somehow, and it seemed completely implausible, and, you know, not that that's ever stopped heroes in the past. So when he actually died again and stayed dead, that's when I said, okay, maybe now, you know, they're trying to get serious. They're trying to play, you know, real stakes, real things are at risk. Characters that we thought were secure, that we thought were comfortable, gone now. And they're going to progress with that. So I thought that was a bold choice. I'm not going to argue with you regarding how long it took him to go. That was true. And Frankenstein stitches, I will not address that either. But still, again, I'm saying, you know, they're trying. They knocked him off, and that was like old heroes, you know, back in the day when you would get attached to the characters that you'd like, and then suddenly they would get killed off, they'd get blown up, they'd drop off the show. You just didn't know what was coming. So I thought that was an improvement. That's what I'm talking about.
Mr. Eric.
Yes.
Nathan. His dad.
Nathan. You know, at first when he said his name, I couldn't even think who that was. I was trying to... but then, now you reminded me. Okay, I mean, that's how much I cared, really. I think he probably said, yeah, you know what? I really don't want to be attached to this franchise anymore. Could you guys, like, write me out now? You know, I don't know. I hope he stays gone, but, you know, in the back of my mind, I've had a feeling we'll see him again for some ridiculous reason. I don't even know why.
Frankenstein.
Yeah, I'm sure there's like six more clones of him somewhere out there, just like Ice Woman. So, you know.
Oh yeah, where is she? Did she die? I thought she joined the circus or something. What happened to Ice Lady?
I don't
know. Crazy.
Well, she was the. Nikki. Didn't she join the carnival? Didn't she join up with the carnival the last time we saw her?
I don't remember.
I thought that she hooked up with the carnival after the incident with the kid dragging. Like,
yeah,
I thought so too. She went back to the carnival and then, oh, by the way, I haven't seen her lately. She must be making a movie or something. Mm-hmm. Right now.
I hope not one like it. Okay, anyway. Okay, all right. So let's just leave Nathan to the side. What about this whole carnival thing? I'm on the fence about the carnival.
We did that on the last episode. I'm not a big fan of the carnival theme either, okay? I'm looking past the carnival theme as well.
I like the actor. What is his name who plays Samuel? Who is he? I must have said this on the last episode as well. Is I like
Robert
him. And
Nepper?
Yes.
Nepper?
Yeah, Nepper. Robert. He kind of makes it compelling a little bit, but they've been at the circus, and we still don't know why we had to endure a whole season of circus.
I think it was mostly because Eric was dying to see Skylar in the hobo outfit. Every time I think back, I roll Eric in the hobo suit.
Oh, yeah.
He was a sad hobo, though. You know, he had little...
Okay.
Oh man.
Wow.
Yeah, I think someone just
go ahead,
I think someone in the writer's table, like over the summer, someone just had this brilliant idea. They thought, oh, you know, what if, you know, carnies, they're always a little bit weird, a little bit off. That would be like a great, you know, analogy for people with special powers. And I just think someone thought that was just a brilliant idea, and now they've been stuck running with it for a while now. But what really did it in for me though, with that whole plot line recently, now that we finally know what Samuel's backstory is about, you know, the dubious way he took over, and now that we're starting to get a hint of what his ultimate goal is. Wow, I
don't understand what his ultimate goal. He's going to grow a forest for them to live in. I don't understand that.
No.
Get the cello girl, for her to play the cello in the park, to find a bum to touch the ground and grow plants and...
No, I think they set it up when they started showing his flashbacks of when he was a little kid and everything went black and white.
All he did was stand by a rock. So he wants to stand...
No.
Have I not been paying attention? I'm sorry.
No. I mean, that happened, but I think what they were trying to say was the whole thing was that he was always in love with that girl since childhood.
Ellen Ty. You know this is not going to go well.
Of course not. She's a Cylon. This has all happened before. But he was like been in love with her since he was a child or whatever. But for some reason, he's felt since he was a kid that if he could just do the one thing, something to somehow impress or wow her, that somehow it would magically make everything work for him. And that's been like his lifelong obsession is to somehow do something. Like that's I think that's what they're trying to show with that scene with him by the rock and everything, and talking to his brother. And, I mean, I guess that's what they're trying to say. And I don't care about that. I mean, it sounds like so we have a psychotic carny leader. That's basically what we have. And really, that's what the whole thing is hinged upon.
I want him to be good. I keep thinking he's going to be a good guy in the end because you know he's being green. He's growing plant life in the desert. That's you know, we need that type of power. Okay, yeah.
Now I'm watching this, and I'm not sure that I think that is his cover for his you know his real devious intent. Because what we've seen so far is he gains power by bringing you know people with abilities around him.
How? I haven't seen that. How? What? I see how Siler gains power, but how does Samuel?
I think Samuel actually said that the episode where Suresh's dad shoots the film and the kid is there and they first design the compass and all of that stuff is going on. You remember that episode?
Okay, yeah,
I don't remember which one it was, folks, to help me out here. In his papers, in his writing, I think he's saying something to the effect of, you know, this boy's having a reaction to the people with abilities around him. There's a force that connects them and binds them. It penetrates us and, you know, all of that stuff he was saying about... So apparently he is a Sith Lord. No. So they start to describe, you know, the energy, what the compass is picking up on. So at least I think that's what the compass is. We don't know for sure yet, or I haven't put it together exactly yet. But so it's like this energy force is something that connects all people with abilities, and our rock guy Samuel has the ability to feed off of that. When you said Siler, you saw how Siler could do it. Do you mean when he was taking powers from people? Is that what you meant?
Yeah, I can see how it makes him more powerful because he gets right in there. He takes the power. He can immediately do something. But when Samuel, he gets more people around him. I mean, yeah, he can shake some rocks, kill people with a rock, make water come up from the sky, make an earthquake in the middle of a parking lot. Okay, is that his power? Or is that more? Or can he do it more massively when he has more people?
Right.
I
don't think he's going to, you know, transcend his basic abilities. You know, there's heroes, who knows? So I don't think he's going to become like Siler. But something, I can't remember what it was, but it seems like there's something in the story that's been in the storyline that makes it pretty clear that the more people with abilities he has around him, the stronger, more powerful he becomes, and I assume within his Earth power. But the other thing is, what was it? I lost my point. I'm sorry. Just go on. I'll come back.
No. You were trying to say more people he has around him makes him more powerful.
So the cellist. He's bringing the cellist in there, not just to find the one guy who can bring you know life to the desert. I had a feeling that he needed her to attract more people with Billy. He's been like, you know, door-to-door salesman here. You saw he's going to do here's a cello, here's a compass, here's a tattoo. You know, just hand collecting these people. Well, Samuel's probably tired. He's like, okay, we need something bigger.
I was just, because I just literally finished watching the end of the last episode literally minutes before recording because I forgot that I didn't watch the end of the last episode because I was catching up. And when Peter was... seeing his mother's dream or whatever, I guess accessing her power to see how the cellist fit into the whole grand scheme of things. What little I got from that little scene where she was in the House of Mirrors and playing and there was screaming, it seemed to me like her playing was it seemed like she was attracting people. Like I took it as like bringing the pigs to the slaughter, so to speak.
That's what
it seemed like to me. It seemed like there was some travesty happening outdoors, and her playing. I was just picturing masses of people being drawn in to some mega catastrophe. I don't know.
I can buy that too. But you know, the point is, she's an attractor for masses of people, which we believe is gonna, you know, either boost his power or make him even more dastardly for, you know, large scales and stuff. But it wasn't just to bring the plant guy in.
Right, certainly.
And then in the end of that vision, Siler is gonna kill her. So
or something, yeah.
Well, wasn't sure. He didn't look like he was gonna kill her.
Made it threatening, but I took that as just like trying to distract you.
The noise, and he did his finger.
He does that when he's drinking
coffee. He does the same thing. It's Siler. That's his way.
Since when do I fall for those obvious traps? Like when they try I'm not falling for that. Like that Heroes is the one.
I turn my brain off and I never know what's going on here. So
don't forget. Remember in the previous episode, we are seeing, you know, an evolving Siler here. You know, he could have easily just killed off.
We were seeing a devolving or de-evolving, however you say that, Siler, because he can't get it up.
It's not because he's, well, we're assuming it is because he is changing as an individual. Maybe he's starting to regret a little bit of what he...
How much? No, he's not. We did that already. No.
Yeah, but before it was kind of like he got hit over the head and had a revelation. Now he's been good. He's been bad. He's had a good guy in him. He's trying something different now. He tries something different.
It makes no. I'm exhausted with that. He's done it all. You just went through all the stuff he's done. He even killed his girlfriend. I mean, what up?
He killed a Ghostbuster. What else did he do? His
mom, too.
Did he?
That was mom.
Did he accidentally kill the social worker who was trying to help him, too?
I think she might have gotten away.
It's never
She was on CSI last week, so she lived.
Yeah, okay.
I remember her from Doctor Who, but anyway.
Oh, yeah, she sure was. Okay, anyway. Yeah.
I thought she was great.
Of course you did. Okay, so Siler hovering outside of Claire's bedroom. She's his future. No ideas?
I don't know. He got that stupid tattoo. I don't know.
Eric's like, whatever.
Those two have a destiny. They have a destiny. I mean, right, one of the first people that Siler did not kill, voluntarily did not kill, was her. Remember, he sensed there was something special about her, and he's been hanging around her trying to, you know, I don't know if it's a Mac or, you know, could be like a killer Mac, or he could just be, you know, realize that she's somebody that, well, you know, if I freak out one night, I'm not going to accidentally kill her, so I can work with her. You know, that could be a plan that he's got going on, something like that. But yes,
could it be
the
love?
Story that could maybe it's Siler love. This
oh,
is
wow,
one of the
you will go for anything, won't you, Carl? God,
listen, come on now, seriously. This is one of the few things that's been consistent across Heroes. Those two, you know, have had some kind of bond, and we don't know what it is, and maybe it's accidental on the writer's part. But the point is those two have always been sort of counters to each other for whatever reason. So this makes sense that's still going on.
Okay, well, the latest episode reintroduced Matt Parkman to the fold and his wife. She cut her hair, and she kind of sounds Australian now.
And I guess they tried to work in the script how many times they could say Ratatouille. Like,
yeah, what was that about?
I don't know. It was six times or something. I don't understand where they were going with the cooking and the mentioning.
I don't either. I'm not a fan of Matt Parkman.
Really? you may have on occasion mentioned that you're not a fan of Parkman.
I forget what I say from week to week or whatever. Dude, we don't even need him for Heroes in the story. He's just really unnecessary. Like, why do they even bring him up? There's like, okay, Kat's watching. We're going to torture her. Let's bring in Matt Parkman. Do it.
Well, we had to see the evolution of the Parkman. You see, he went from not wanting to be involved at all. To getting sucked in reluctantly, to going, okay, this is going to work because I found a hottie, then gotten her killed and said, oh, heck with this, I'm not getting involved again. And then he found out he had a kid. So now he's coming back, you know, coming back. And then he got was responsible for, you know, putting Siler in Nathan. And so then he says, he's out again. I'm out. Don't mess with me again. I'm totally out of this. And then
he got called a coward.
Yes, because, you know, all that secret spy, secret agent stuff that Bennett learned, calling a guy a chicken was the ultimate defense, right? That was the thing that broke the mind-reading hero of Parkman to snap out of it, leave his family, and join him on another crusade. So, you see, this is just, he comes in, he goes out. He comes in, he goes out. So now he's going to be angry Parkman soon. Parkman rage. Be ready.
No, I'm not. Iron Maiden, Lauren, she has a nickname. Is she a one of them? Because, you know, they always supposed to have one of us, one of them. Is she one of them? Why haven't we seen her power? What is
because
Iron Maiden?
She's superpowered. She's superpowered.
Is this something that you've read, or are you just coming up with stuff, Carl? Is this
I'm
a
just
spoiler?
Up.
Or, I mean, what are we talking about here?
But seriously though, I mean, I am, you know, just coming up with this stuff. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, mm-hmm. No, seriously though. Well, I'm fitting within, you know, how the story ought to go. Because one, Bennett was pretty much their top human agent, you know, on all their teams and all the missions and stuff. They're not going to stick him with a lightweight in terms of somebody that's got a hero power. You get the impression that they went back a long way. They were a dynamic duo together. So she's got some kung fu or something that we haven't seen yet, and I'm sure in a absolutely hero's convenient way, it's going to pop out, and then we're going to see, you know, she's like, truly, the Iron Maiden is going to be big and spectacular. But I kind of like her. I kind of like her.
Oh, I like her. I always like that actor. She's good.
I like Bennett, and to see that, you know, he's got somebody – kind of trying to bring him back a little bit, somebody that actually understands him versus his, you know, pooch carrying wife all that time, who was just, that just didn't make any sense to me at all. You know, those two did, that didn't make.
Well, at first, when he was trying to keep his cover, of course they make sense because she's the perfect cover wife who doesn't know anything.
Yeah, but he still had to be around her, you know, for stretches of time. He doesn't seem like a real patient kind of guy. And, Unless he was like, Haitian, come on, I need you to, you know, Friday. Every week the Haitian was coming by fixing stuff up around the house. I can't see how he would be. So I think I like her character. Yes, she is an actress. It is also very, very interesting.
Yes.
But those two together are really good to watch. When she first, the first episode, some of the first things that she said when she came on there, I saw a connection between those two. That was interesting to watch. You could see, Bennett starting to soften a little bit, but you could also see that he is really good at what he does. I mean, we know that. We've been kind of afraid of him because he's the evil guy all this time, but he's kind of like, you know, if you're looking at superheroes, he's like Batman, and that's why I respect Batman most, because he's the one that doesn't have superpowers, and yet he's running with all these, you know, crazy things.
Boy, let Eric talk, man.
No, because when Carl started going on about Bennett, he just reminded me of just saying, what was the deal with the Bennett and the ingratuitous Darth Maul torture scene that we had recently.
Now that you're calling him, he's really a good guy. Let's bring up him torturing Darth Maul.
It was so over the top, though. It was so, and then.
No, it fit to me. It fit to me.
It did.
Are you talking about the knives guy?
Yeah.
Are you talking about knives? Yeah, okay. No, what was inconsistent about that? You said it was over the top.
It was because. Bennett made him seem like a man with zero intelligence, first of all. But then, even after all the insane torture, which just seemed way over the top and not really efficient, but then in the end, Darth Maul's still cool with it, and he's still happy to, you know, play with him. And like, yeah, I know, but he still told him everything he needed to tell. So then, at the end, the torture does work. Where, you know, it shouldn't even have worked in the first place. It was a ridiculous idea. But then again,
Doesn't Bennett work for the government? Doesn't Bennett work? He's a soldier. He's a government soldier, and that's what they do. We torture, right?
Technically, remember, I don't think Ben is actually a soldier. He's, you know, a company man.
Yeah,
so
agent
that's a little bit different. But
I was joking.
So I thought the first thing is, we gotta remember, Bennett does have all that good torture skill from back in the day, you know, when he was in the Corps or whatever doing his thing. That was, that's always with him. And it's been interesting seeing him kind of mellow a little bit of late. But remember, he's really upset because his daughter is in danger now. One knife guy came up in his house, about killed him the last time they ran it. So he doesn't like him all that much. Just to start with. So now he's got him in the chair. He's the only way that he's going to be able to figure out what's up with his daughter. And so he's looking, he's trying to protect her. He doesn't like the guy that much anyway. If he didn't cooperate, I have a feeling Bennett wouldn't have had a problem killing him. I mean, you know, you say it may have seemed excessive or, you know, ineffective as a tool, but I think that he was pretty much upset at this point. And, you know, he played the cold agent guy all this time. Then he kind of softened. You know, he's trying to take care of his daughter. He left all that stuff behind him. He's trying to get things. He sent the girl off to school. And then, bam, the crazy carny's coming to get her.
See,
he's mad.
See, I'm not necessarily against torture in general because, I mean, but I think – but there's times and other places and other shows where it's done effectively and more right. It seems like it's used in a smarter way by a different character. I understand that, but I mean – for instance, like in 24, I think it's used more effectively, and it makes the character seem smarter who does the torture, you know, whereas Bennett just seems like he's just like a hothead and just like completely, like, it seems like, I understand his character is supposed to be very emotional about protecting his daughter and everything like that.
This is the guy that shanked him, though. He stabbed him.
No, but it's
just... the other part. He's mad.
I understand. Again, I realize he's full of passion, but I think he's also lost his brain at the same time.
That's why Lauren was there to calm him down and talk him down because he was too much, you know, testosterone going on. He was mad at the guy. Like Carl said, his daughter was involved and he wanted his information. And the guy was stalking him. He didn't come straight up and say, hey, let's talk. He was stalking him and he got into his apartment. He broke in.
Yeah, tased him coming through the window.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is, Bennett, I think, is a really interesting character in general, and in this season, I am liking him a whole lot more. Like in this past episode, when I said he's good at what he does, you got people disappearing, ground folded up underneath, dudes that can fly, and all he's got is his one little gun, and he's running through the alley, you know, jumping behind fences, and he's still. It was so cool when he took down Maul. He was just walking. He was cool. He was, you know, he's in his living room. He was like, I'd do it like this again, huh? And then Vampire comes busting through the door. Pow! Tased him right there. Smooth. That is some Batman stuff right there. Didn't even knock his glasses off. He was ready.
Eric, you're not buying it. You're not buying it. You still think it was over the top.
No, I think he's wishy-washy. And I think he's. Because I just don't think it was an intelligent move. Again, I realize he's full of passion, but it just seemed like this is a completely ridiculous strategy. I mean, if you're him.
We are talking about heroes.
Yeah, I'm talking about Bennett. Yeah, I just think it was a ridiculous strategy on his own part. As passionate as he is, I mean, just because you feel so strongly doesn't mean you should just, like, you know, embrace reckless abandon. Especially not him. Maybe a different character. Because he seems too emotional and wishy-washy. And just like how Parkman always goes back and forth with,
now that's
you know,
a guy that's wishy-washy.
Fight. But I think both of them are in their own ways because Parkman goes wishy-washy with, am I in the fight? Am I out of the fight? You know, am I a coward? Am I not a coward? Is my wife cheating on me for the third time or is she not? But then Bennett is like, oh, I got to save my, you know, I got to protect my daughter no matter what. So
like
much so that it pushes her away. So much that I push her away. But no, I'm going to understand and I'm going to, you know, be here for her. But no, actually, you know, it's like – and he's constantly pushing his daughter, pushing Claire away, pulling her back, trying to protect her, trying to get out of her life, back into her life. You know,
yeah, I was so tired with the bridge thing, and bridges can be broken, and you need to go seal the bridge, and you know, put this on the bridge with Claire. Claire's not talking to him because she found out about Nathan and his Frankenstein stitches and all this stuff, and she's pissed about that, and that's going to go on forever, and that's a little boring, because at first I'm like, oh, why are they not talking again? Oh, she just found out about, oh, yeah, because, right, that was his dad. Oh, illegitimate daughter, blah, blah, blah. I'm tired.
This is no different than a traditional soap opera.
Do comic books, are they like, I don't recall comic books being like, I don't read them, so, you know,
Yes, they very much are.
Well, that's, yeah,
is this TV show true to comic books, which I'm pretty sure you've answered before, because it seems like you have, I've asked this before, but that's ridiculous, I can't be, so guys like soap operas?
Well, not
in the
really.
Form of graphic novels. That's what we're getting at here. You're really chicks, but it has to be graphic novel.
What is wrong with you?
I'm sorry.
That's the whole argument. I was just trying to get
a rise out of you, dude. That's all.
I will just ignore that for now.
We've talked about this. What makes science fiction, good science fiction, is analogy, okay?
Aliens!
It's apartheid, but with aliens. You know, it's that kind of thing. We say, okay, so what's going on? Clearly, what's going on between Bennett and his daughter is the same thing that fathers and daughters have to go through all of the time. Dads are trying to protect their little baby girls, and sometimes they go a little overboard with it. This dude just happens to have giant guns and run around and shooting dudes out of the air.
Yeah, but she can't necessarily die, so he's being ridiculous.
Well, no, but she can be turned. You know, we haven't seen the bad Claire yet. We don't know where that's going. He's worried. He's seen what's happening.
Bad Claire.
So I'm just saying that is also considered the wishy-washiness that you're talking about is a normal story arc of daughter and father trying to find their way. And you made a good point. I agree about the bridges. You know, that was getting a little heavy-handed. But come on, wasn't it funny when he shows up at the door and he's like, yeah, baby, I just wanted to say that, you know, the bridges have come down and then they're coming back. And Claire's looking at him like, what are you talking about? He's like,
I got somewhere I gotta be.
It was funny. You know, they even broke down the whole bridges, you know, thing at that point. He's like, I don't know what I'm saying. Just anyway. So Bennett is interesting this season. I'm really digging him. I like Lauren in there. Yeah, and we got a kiss. Noah, man, this is gonna have some action going on here. What? Yeah.
I totally missed that. I think I was just exhausted from everything else.
Hero, Ando, and Suresh busted in and just broke the whole moment up.
But they were being C-3PO all at once. Okay. So they're now, to jump way back and off topic, when we go back to the carnival, you know the lady with the tattoos?
Yes.
You remember how they were letting her daughter have these little mini commercials for 30 seconds and stuff? Well, I think the latest episode, we saw her daughter in an episode for the first time, and she was actually, like, had lines.
Mm-hmm. She's been in an episode. I mean, she's been her daughter sort of quietly in a line.
Right. And they were, like, 30-minute snippets or... Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. The slow burn thing?
Yeah, the slow burn thing. That wasn't actually part of the episode. They were just like mini whatevers, right?
Yeah, the webisodes.
But for the first time, I think, in the latest episode, she actually was in the episode, which I thought was different. Because I thought I could actually ignore her for a while. Like, what is this? I don't have to pay attention. But now she's actually speaking in the show, which I thought, this is weird. You know,
I have not been following the webisodes. They didn't pull me in enough to try to go and find out more about them, but I'm pretty sure they are related and they're giving hints. What?
Because every time I saw the little slow burn promo, all I ever saw was a big Sprint phone every single time. Really, I don't need to know more about the Sprint phone character.
Because all they're doing is like Sprint phone and mother daughter arguing, and I'm like, what is this? I don't care. And it's really like D-grade acting. I'm sorry.
Just an overblown commercial. Yeah, I really did. I saw her daughter, you know, like what you say in the episode proper, and I, wow, I just didn't even care. Like, really, seriously, I want the show to end. I want it to so bad. I really do. It could totally free me up to watch something else like Chuck or something, which I don't currently watch. But it would just give me that extra.
I caught up on all of Chuck. I love it.
But I just want, because I mean, Heroes, I'm going down with the ship, and I just, I wanted to free up that extra bit of my life.
Speaking of going down with the ship, it's directed by Roxanne Dawson from Voyager.
Sweet.
So I didn't look into it to know if that was just her doing it for one episode directing, or if she's been doing it for the whole time. So I'll have to look that up.
I'm sure she's done a few or so. Man, you know what? Talk about the most prolific actors turned directors. Like, man, Star Trek alumni, they're everywhere.
Yep. Yes, because Tom Paris from Voyager is doing Chuck.
LeVar Burton,
Duncan McNeil.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I forget, I could have sworn someone from Star Trek directed an SGU episode, and they're like all over the place.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They're mm-hmm. just everywhere. But
Star Trek. I've been playing the new game. It's so cool.
Hey, I'm ready for when they get back to a new Star Trek live action show. You know, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. I'm on the fence with that.
I'm not on any fence. I'm not on any fence. I would take Voyager, right? My least favorite of the bunch. I would take that or something equivalent to that right now over, you know, anything.
I have to agree with you. I'd go with you on that. I'd even take Enterprise right now.
I really liked Enterprise. I really liked Enterprise.
Why? Carl, why? No, sir. You cannot complain about Enterprise.
I really liked Enterprise. It had its faults. I'm sorry. I admit that, but I still liked Enterprise a lot.
Really, I would watch Enterprise with the theme song playing.
I like the theme song, too.
I
kind of like the theme song until they made it easy listening and jazzed it up. Yeah. That was
But you know, seriously, I must say it's my best choice for the theme song. But really, I thought it was an improvement over the Voyager theme song, just for me, because the Voyager one was a little bit too sappy.
Yep.
So
What do you say, Carl?
I thought gospel was a bold choice for Star Trek. And technically, I thought it was a good choice because...
Gospel?
That's what it was, you know.
What was gospel? On Voyager?
The theme to Enterprise. The Enterprise.
I thought that was country music.
It's
funny, right from the start, I always thought it was a Ron Stewart song. That's what I thought when the show first came out.
I thought
out.
It was country, and I was like, ew, this is gross.
Because they were bringing back, they were taking us all back, and it was the spiritual bond of all the Trekkie
Trekkers.
They could
have did that with instrumental.
So it was
Yeah.
Well, I mean, no, they could have. But what I'm saying is, the choice of the gospel was sort of like bringing us together. It was like, this is where it all began. We're all going to get together, and this is going to be great. And when I'm watching the pilot, and that theme is going, I was like, oh yeah, I like the opening credits to Enterprise probably better than any of the other ones, because just to see the history, the connection. Yeah. John Glenn was in it.
If they had played an instrumental and showed that same thing, and it was you and heartstrings, whatever, it would have been fine without the words. I am anti-words in Star Trek intros.
No, first of all, I love that intro, and I love it.
I think both of you are sick. Sick individuals who like soap operas.
And as I already told Kat, too, it works even perfectly, like, when you're used to the regular Enterprise intro. And then when they do the Mirror Darkly episode in the...
That's the only time I like it.
That was nice.
In the fourth season, and then they drop in the Dark instrumental song, and then they do a retcon on the whole history of the Mirror Universe, starting with the Nazis and going forward.
Don't get me wrong. Enterprise is the best-looking Star Trek series they made. It just blew the pants off. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
Sort of the costume. But it was, and the effects, of course, you know, they had the best of everything. But man, them stories were just killing me. They were killing me. Oh, it was bad.
Okay, guys. See, we've gotten off track.
I'm waiting for my alternate universe Next Generation show now that we've established the new Star Trek franchise.
They would have to start off with. If they were going to do live action, they would have to go with Next Gen.
No, I was thinking, well, alternate universe.
No, that'll be too.
Star Trek
show. What do you mean, alternate universe as an alternate universe? Meaning, not mirror, right?
Not mirror.
In from Star Trek movies, as right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Okay. I agree with that.
I got lost. What era are we talking about? Next gen, original. What are we talking
next
about?
Next gen.
Because it occurred
from the movie that just released.
Yes, exactly. So now we'd be in Picard's time, but now in the altered world because of Nero and everything.
And what happened to Vulcan and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be awesome.
Will the laptops be smaller in this alternate future?
Okay, Carl, no, sir. We're going to cut this one off.
I'm sure they're not just laptops. I'm sure they look like laptops, but they're, you know.
Okay. Well, guys, I want to thank you for joining me this evening and talking about heroes and whatever the hell.
I was ambushed. I tell you.
Oh, please. We weren't that bad. Quit your whining. And that is Eric and Carl. And that is our show. Come and visit us at scifipartyline.com and give us a call at 773-336-2686. That's 773-336-2686. And see you at the party next time. Bye.
I wish you could see.
We'll do something over the weekend or something.
Yeah, we'll do another because, you see, this bag of Doritos is going to call me the whole...
Oh, this dude.
I was good the whole episode. I did not touch it, but there's...
Oh, God, let's let him go.